Radio Prague News.
Representatives of Czech and Russian businesses have concluded contracts worth tens of billions of crowns upon the visit of Russian President Dmitry Medvedev. Foreign Minister Karl Schwarzenberg has sharply criticized Russian elections and the handling of demonstrations there. And Culture Minister Jiří Beser of the Topo 9 party has resigned from his position. Representatives of Czech and Russian businesses concluded contracts worth tens of billions of crowns at Prague Castle on Thursday in the presence of their respective presidents. The main deal was for the construction of a 400-kilometer railway line in the Ural Mountains worth nearly 40 billion crowns. The work is to be done under the management of the Brno-based company OHL and will be co-financed by Czech and Russian banks. Czech companies also secured three other multi-billion crown projects for the construction of fossil fuel power stations and a chemical factory. A declaration of partnership for modernization was also concluded between Russia and the Czech Republic after negotiations between their delegations on Thursday afternoon. Foreign Minister Karl Schwarzenberg has criticized Russia's recent parliamentary elections and the disproportionate use of force against protesters there. Speaking in Brussels, the foreign minister said that the amount of objections to the elections was lamentable, and he had hoped that the days of Russia using force to influence elections were over. He welcomed the presence of Dmitry Medvedev in Prague and said it confirmed good relations between the countries, but he said he would prefer to receive news that Moscow was responding to the results of the elections more calmly and appropriately. If he had the chance to speak with Mr. Medvedev, he said he would ask if he too does not find the crackdown disproportionate. Culture Minister Jiří Beser of the Topo 9 party has resigned from his post. Mr. Beser said on Thursday he decided to leave office because he didn't feel the support of his government colleagues and had not been given the space to explain his case. Mr. Beser had failed to include his share in the Comoros Group company in his property statement. The Topo 9 party plans to select a new candidate for the post on Monday. His resignation has been accepted by the Prime Minister. The Council of Higher Education Institutions has slammed the Education Ministry's proposed act on tuition, saying it cannot be improved, only rejected. Among a series of 65 comments on the proposed bill, the Council notes that at a cost of more than 46 million crowns in EU funding, the actual bill is only a page and a half long. The remaining 50 pages, they say, are merely annexes and assessments of the impacts of legal regulations. The Council's academics have issued their own 134-page set of criticisms of the bill, which they say, aside from preparedness, lacks also references to other laws, analyses of the effects of tuition on students and the state budget, and fails to define even key terminology. Now turning briefly to the weather, the coming days are expected to be mostly cloudy with chances of rain or sleet, and daytime highs of 4 to 7 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. In today's program, we'll have the latest, all the details on the visit by Russian President Dmitry Medvedev to Prague. Stay with us for that. The culture minister has become the seventh member of the cabinet forced out. And a little later in the program, Panorama, when a sausage is not a sausage. Stay tuned to find out more. More than a dozen important bilateral agreements and business deals were on the agenda of a two-day visit to Prague by the Russian President Dmitry Medvedev and his entourage. Bilateral relations were at the forefront of attention, but topics such as the current problems in the Eurozone and the recent parliamentary elections in Russia were also mentioned. Pavla Horakova reports.
President Medvedev was welcomed with state honors on Thursday morning when he arrived at Prague Castle for the second time in 2 years. In the presence of the two countries' heads of state, Czech and Russian officials and businessmen signed deals worth more than 54 billion crowns, including a contract for railroad construction in Siberia and nuclear power supplies. Czech President Václav Klaus called the visit a signal of bilateral interest in mutual friendly relations. Quoting his Russian counterpart, he said relations had been freed of ideology and were no longer burdened by the past.
There are no doubt many areas in which we already cooperate. There are more than 100 Russian investors in the Czech Republic, and there are many Czech investors in the Russian Federation. Today we have outlined new possibilities and forged new contacts for further cooperation. I'm also very happy that we managed to bring here a unique exhibition from the Kremlin Treasury, which President Medvedev and I first discussed 2 years ago during my visit to Moscow. I see the fact that this exhibition is being opened as a significant and positive occasion that does not occur very often in the history of our two countries.
President Václav Klaus also commented on one of the important business topics discussed, that is Russia's bid to complete the Temelín nuclear power plant in South Bohemia.
We are taking a pragmatic and rational approach to the problem. The Czech Republic is interested in a fair and transparent process of selection of the foreign partner. In my view, the Russian bid has a positive aspect in that it offers probably the largest share of subcontracts for Czech companies, but the final bids have not yet been submitted.
President Medvedev said he would like mutual cooperation between the two countries to be more diversified and include more projects than energy or heavy machinery. The two sides also briefly touched on the debt crisis in the Eurozone and the outcome and aftermath of last week's general elections in Russia.
There's nothing unnatural about the results. The figures reflect the situation in society as well as predictions, so it was no surprise to me. As for the post-election situation, if people want to express their views, it is important that everything goes in line with the law, without excesses. As for possible irregularities, such claims must be investigated by the Central Electoral Committee and Judiciary. We are willing to listen to objections from our partners, but they must not be biased.
President Klaus refrained from commenting on the Russian elections, referring to them as the country's internal issue, and adding that he himself did not like foreign commentaries on Czech domestic affairs. Czech Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg, who is currently on a working visit to Brussels, was less diplomatic in this respect, saying that he disapproved of the way the Russian authorities were handling post-election protests, and he would be happy to tell the Russian president so to his face were he to meet him in person.
Pavla Horáková reporting there on the Russian president's visit to the Czech capital, and no surprises there that there's some division between our own president and the foreign minister. If you'd like to comment, please do so by writing to english@radio.cz. The Czech culture minister, Jiří Beser, tendered his resignation to the prime minister on Thursday amidst allegations of corruption and unethical behavior. The minister said that while he was innocent of any wrongdoing, he felt that he lacked support in the cabinet and in his own party, which would allow him to defend his case. He is the seventh minister forced out of the Nečas government since it took office in June of 2010. Daniela Lazarová has the story.
Martin Kocourek, Vít Bárta, Pavel Drobil, and now Jiří Beser all were forced to leave the Nečas cabinet after failing to explain suspect financial transactions or irregularities in business dealings. Jiří Beser neglected to claim part ownership in a U.S.-based company and property in Florida worth $230,000 in his property statement. It moreover emerged that another shareholder in the said company, Pavel Harach, an old friend of the minister's, had been convicted of corruption. The case, brought to light by the internet daily Insider, was more bad publicity for a government which has made the fight against corruption its top priority. The embattled minister, who claims that the failure to include the Florida company in his property statement was an oversight, and the said Mr. Harach simply an old friend, was quickly given to understand that his presence in the cabinet was no longer desirable. Not only would his case tar the government's reputation, but it would damage his own party, Topo 9, which has prided itself on being the only coalition member untainted by corruption scandal. The party's parliamentary leader, Petr Gazdík, indicated that Topo 9 would not rally behind its minister.
I think the most serious aspect of what we know is that the minister clearly had business dealings with a man who had been convicted several times. That is ethically and morally quite unacceptable.
The embattled minister, who was on a working visit to the Vatican when the scandal broke, was meant to defend himself at a cabinet meeting on Wednesday night. However, he failed to show up and announce his resignation shortly after his return, without facing any of his colleagues in the cabinet. His written resignation was promptly accepted by Prime Minister Petr Nečas, who thanked Mr. Besser for his work.
I was informed about Mr. Besser's decision, and under the circumstances I would not expect anything less. I will meet with him in the coming days so that we can discuss this face to face and give the matter some closure. But I want to say here and now that I respect the good work Mr. Besser delivered, particularly in the field of church restitution.
The junior coalition party Public Affairs, which won seats in the lower house on a strong anti-corruption agenda, says the number of corruption-related resignations in the centre-right cabinet are a positive signal that the government is sweeping before its own door as well. Radek Jon is the party's parliamentary group leader.
The newly emerging political culture is that anyone touched by a corruption scandal resigns, not like in the old days when people linked to a scandal remained in their posts.
Whether or not the public is willing to accept this slant on the problem is unclear, but the country's most recent corruption perception index speaks volumes. The Czech Republic has dropped even lower down the ladder, from 53rd to 57th place, which it shares with Namibia and Saudi Arabia.
Daniela Lazarva with that story on the latest resignation by a member of the cabinet. You're listening to Radio Prague, where it's now time for Panorama, and Daniela stays with us for that.
Twenty-two years after the fall of communism, Czech shops are crammed with goods, and people have long forgotten the hours they spent waiting in line to buy bananas and oranges for their Christmas table, a rare treat unavailable throughout the year. Shopping malls and supermarkets now offer a wide variety of goods sold across Europe. But beneath the surface of the glossy packaging, there's a small hitch. Discerning shoppers often find that certain brand products they relished abroad still don't taste quite as good in the Czech Republic. I met up with Miroslav Hummel from the consumer protection agency Spotrebitel.net to find out why this may be so and how the position of the Czech consumer has changed over the years.
Maybe the biggest change is on the side of choice in Czech Republic, because 20 years ago there was only one shop, only one chain where was possible to buy only small amount of the items. And today there is a lot of shops, many shops and many chains from the different countries, mainly from Germany. And the consumers have a big choice and they can buy a lot of items. But sometimes the problem is on the side of the quality of these items, because the consumers are not able to recognize the concrete quality on the concrete items. You can read, for example, how many percent of vegetable is in the concrete soup. But the problem is that consumers are not reading these boxes, and they are mostly looking for the price. I think it's a problem of Czech Republic, because many sellers think or have the big press to have a smaller price. And this is a merit of advertising of these chains.
But there's been a lot of criticism in the media regarding the kind of foodstuffs that these chains sell here in the Czech Republic. And comparisons show or indicate that for the same amount of money, for the same price, Czechs who are buying products here are not getting the same quality as Germans who are buying the same product in Germany from the same food chain. For instance, if we're talking about ketchup, the tomato content is much, much lower. If we're talking about marmalade, the food content is much, much lower, and so on and so on. So, you know, what is behind this? Because clearly it's not the price, right? Because the price is pretty much the same. Why aren't we getting the same quality?
I think, unfortunately, you are right. I spent 1 year in Germany, and I know that the price of the basic foods in Germany is in the many examples lower than in Czech Republic. But where is the problem? I think that the first problem is on the side of taxes. And the next problem is that the taxes will be raised in a few years because our government is planning to have a 20% tax for the food in a few years. And I'm worried that it should be very bad for the consumers.
So you expect the quality of goods to go even lower?
Yes, definitely. And the second problem is that the Czech market is not so big like the market in Germany. And for example, the turnover of the chains is smaller or is not so high like in Germany. And there is the very big press to have the big profit for the separate items. For example, in Germany, if someone is selling ketchup, as he was talking about, for him it's possible to have a profit about 10% from the one bottle, but in Czech Republic it's aimed to have the profit about 30%.
Right. On the other hand, if we look at markets like Belgium or the Netherlands, would they find the same kind of quality that Czechs are buying? Is it not because sometimes these chains feel that what they send to what is still often called the post-communist world need not be of quality as high as that sold, for instance, in Belgium or the Netherlands, where clients and buyers are more discerning and would simply not buy this stuff or not eat it or complain?
The problem is that the people in Belgium and Netherlands are generally richer than in Czech Republic. The second problem is that, for example, in Belgium, the people have a choice between the many different shops. On the one hand, you can buy something in the shop with the name Coloroid, and this shop is... I don't think that it's dangerous, but the price is very friendly. On the other hand, the people can go to the... Jebet, this is the supermarket, something like Carrefour in Czech was in Czech Republic, and in this shop the people can buy the products with the high quality.
Okay, well, from a poll I saw recently, a third of Czechs would be willing to pay more in order to buy better quality goods for better quality products. Are these products available?
I think today it's a problem. There are some possibilities in the bigger town. There the people can visit the bigger shopping center. There is a possibility to buy the better cheese, for example, and the top products from the all world. But in the smaller town, it's, I think, impossible to buy something different, and people have to go only to the shops where they can buy only the standard product with a standard quality. It's not so good.
So what do you think, what will it take for the situation to change for the better for people who actually want to buy quality products and are willing to pay for them to be able to get them?
Today, I am not so happy because the prognosis of the economic rise for the next years is not so good. The Czech Republic will be under the influence of a recession, and the people are looking for the possibilities to save money. But I hope in 5 or in 10 years the situation will be better because the Czech Republic is a neighbor of the Germany and Austria, and I am sure that the income of the Czech population will rise and will be raised to the level of these countries. And I hope that in this situation the people will be more thinking about their health and other things that are money only.
When we talk about products that are lacking in quality, let us say, are there not norms regarding meat, dairy products and so on that are valid across the European Union that would protect the consumer to some extent at least. What do these norms say?
I think that the norms was on the good level before the entering of Czech Republic to the European Union, and after 2004 is also on the good level. But the problem is that the level is only watching that the food can't be danger for the people. And there are the two questions. One question is this food danger? And the second question is about the quality. I think you can have a ketchup with 27% of tomatoes only, but it is not a danger for the health. But the quality is not so good like in the ketchup from made from 60% of tomatoes, for example. But the norm and is watching the question of the dangerity.
Do people complain about the quality of food products or any other products on the market? I'm sure you get calls, people complaining, asking your advice. What is it they complain most about?
I think that the most important for the people is the taste. The many people told me that they have buy something in Germany, for example, lemonade, the Coca-Cola, and it had another taste in Germany and another taste in the Czech Republic. I think that the taste is something we are able to compare the another things, for example, how many percent of something is in the product, are people not able to compare, but the taste is very, very useful. But I have talked with many people about this, and I heard that, for example, in the Hungary or Slovak Republic, is the situation a little bit worse. The situation in the Czech Republic is somewhere in the middle between the former West European countries and another East European countries. Maybe the worst situation is in Bulgaria, I have heard.
If you were to give your clients a single piece of advice, what would it be?
I think it's very necessary to say what I think about and what I would like to have. For example, if someone is going to the chains, to the supermarket, and someone can see that the food is in the bad quality, it's necessary to say it to the control inspections. For example, in Czech Republic, we have Czech agriculture and food inspection. And they are waiting for the impulse from the people. And the problem is that something people think that they are not able to change anything. They can see that something is worse or something is not so good, they would like to have it. But they are not doing any steps to change it. We can inform this organization, we can inform the another organization like the Česká obchodní inspekce, Czech Business Inspection, or for example, many consumer protection association they are in Czech Republic, like for example this one, and we can do something against. Yes, but it's necessary to say what I would like to have.
Miroslav Hummel, consumer protection advocate, ending that edition of Panorama by Daniela Lazarva. That takes us to the last portion of today's show, another edition of Soundcheck with Jan Richter. Welcome to this edition of Sound Czech, Radio Prague's Czech language series in which you can learn interesting phrases through songs' lyrics. Today's phrase, šrouby do hlavy, or screws into the head, is also the name of the song released in 1990 by one of the most popular Czech pop bands, Lucie. The actual phrase says, jak se valí holkám šrouby do hlavy, or literally, how to drive screws into girls' heads. The band is not talking about torture, though. They're employing a popular phrase of the time, which means to talk somebody into something or to fool someone.
The idea behind the phrase suggests that you drive something into someone else's head. In this particular case, the guy is complaining about his girlfriend getting perhaps too close to another man, who is very good at driving screws into a girl's head. Another fashionable variant of the same expression uses wedges instead of screws. Valit klíny do hlavy. The verb valit literally means to roll, but in colloquial Czech it denotes more general kinds of movement as well, although you would not usually use this verb in connection with šroub, a screw. Once you have had screws driven into your head by someone, you might well want to vyčistit si hlavu, or clear your head. Although in Czech this could also imply cleaning your head, the meaning is metaphorical and has nothing to do with hygiene. With a clear head, you can check this edition of Soundcheck, together with all the previous ones, at Radio Sprague's website, www.radio.cz/en.
That edition of Soundcheck by Jan Richter brings us to the end of today's show. I'm Jan Wellinger. For all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you so much for tuning in and take care.